wonderful to be here speaking with you this morning. If you're new along here today, great to have you with us here this morning. I have a picture of a diamond up there, as you would have noticed. This was the diamond that was in Julie's engagement ring. No, not really. It was Debbie's one, that's right. All right, settle down. Lynn brought a really cool word this morning, touching on the different names of God, didn't she? And just, God has got so many different dimensions to him. And today I just want to bring out three of those. But a neat way to actually view God is by just checking out a diamond. Because it's one rock, it's one beautiful entity. But a diamond is brilliant because of its many different facets and its many different angles. And the light hits a diamond and it glows and it's clear and it's like the hardest rock in the world, I think. And the thing about God is that he is multidimensional. He is so diverse in who he is, but at the center of his heart, at the center of that diamond, he beats with a heart of love. So that every single dimension of God actually, it reflects and it radiates his heart. It radiates the love of the Father. And his first response to us, no matter what we're going through in life, is always love. You know, we know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believed in him would not die but have everlasting life. So we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, don't we? We know that he is such an amazing Savior to us. And I received salvation and knew Christ as my Savior as a 13-year-old up in Mistletoe Bay at an Easter camp in the Marlborough Sounds. And I didn't have any concept of Jesus wanting to be a part of my world at that time. And I'd been to church and Sunday school, and all of a sudden, this amazing presence comes behind me and just totally, I know I wanted him, I know I hungered for him, but I didn't pray a prayer, I didn't understand what Jesus had done for me. I just received this incredible download of his love, and my vision for life was changed in an instant because I knew that he had saved me. All right, I knew that I was significant to him, and I couldn't reason that through. And someone tried to explain that to me after the service as a 13-year-old, and I was like, I don't get any of that, but I just know that God loves me, right? And so I knew Christ as my Savior as a 13-year-old, and in Galatians 4:7 it says that we are adopted into his family as sons and daughters. We're no longer a slave, but we are God's child. You know, this is the lens of the Father. This is the dimension up there that reflects it. You know, he's Savior, but he's also Father to us. And so he responds to us with a Father's heart. You know, a Father protects, a Father encourages, a Father in challenge, a Father restores people. You know, he's an incredible Father to us. And this morning, I want to just camp especially around the aspect of Christ as King. He is our Savior King. And it's such a powerful dimension of the nature of who God is to us. And I just believe that I've been carrying this for the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks, that I just need to speak about the kingship of Jesus Christ in our lives. In Jude 1:25, it says this: all glory to him who alone is God and Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. You know, snapshot, God is big. Snapshot, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. In Colossians, it talks about having supremacy in Christ. Christ is the supreme being that is present in our world and in this globe. His heart and his His passion for redeeming our planet is powerful, and it flows through fathership, it flows through savior, it flows through lordship. And through lordship, there are different dimensions that are released to us. And you know, there's two aspects of a king that I just want to zero in on. And one is that he has a kingdom, and the other, authority. I muted it. Come on. It's my authority of my thumb right there. He has a kingdom, and he has authority. And we as his children, we can receive this kingdom. We can receive this authority as we recognize his lordship in our lives. And there's, you know, the kingdom represents the what and the where. You know, the what area is being governed. You know, the territory, where are the borders, and what does this kingdom represent? And I just want to tell you, and you know, that it is a kingdom of love that you're a part of. The second dimension is authority, and this we get to share the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, that we can trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. We're raised up with Christ, and we're seated in heavenly places. That speaks of a partnership of authority with him. And this camps around who is in charge and who is giving permission for what is being done, who is governing. And this is our part, and who is recognizing the authority of the king. As a nation, New Zealand, we're obviously, we don't do kingdom naturally, do we? We're a democratic nation, and we get to vote for our amazing politicians, and basically it's just a case of, you know, of them coming up with their best view on life, and we go, you know, we support that or we don't support that. You know, it's basically whoever's world view is the most appealing, can give us the most comfort, that doesn't hurt or offend too many people. You know, we're gonna vote that way because, you know, that's what the humanistic worldview is calling our society into. But the kingdom of heaven, you know, it doesn't operate under a democratic regime. It operates under a kingdom, a king in his kingdom. A king in his kingdom. And he's calling every one of us to be his royal subjects, you know. To be all right. To be a part of his kingdom. I love my voice today, man. You know, heaven is not a democracy. There's not a democracy in heaven. Angels aren't voting on who is in power in heaven. They're not casting ballots. They, you know, one of them tried once and it didn't work out too well for him because Jesus Christ is the supreme being. He is the Lord, and we get to be a part of this kingdom of love. He is the King of hearts in our lives. In Colossians 1 verse 13, it says here, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son with whom he loves." You know, it's a kingdom of sonship and of daughtership. It's a kingdom of belonging. It's a kingdom of family. Yes, but it is a kingdom. And it says that we are rescued from the dominion of darkness. See, you've been called out of another kingdom. You've been called out of the dominion of darkness. And you don't, you might say, I don't want to be a part of this kingdom of heaven. Well, I want to tell you, if you're not choosing the kingdom of heaven, then there's only one other kingdom that you are aligning your life with. And the devil wants to deceive you and say, well, there's no, you know, it's just, God's irrelevant. Well, that is so not true. His kingdom is the greatest kingdom to be a part of. It is a kingdom of love. And he wants to rule, and he will rule in our lives, but only as we give him permission to do so. He has given us free will, and he is a gentleman with us. He is the Lord, but he is a gentleman. He is a Lord over our lives only as we give him permission into every area and aspect of our lives. And And as we surrender our lives to Him and give Him lordship, He wants to come in and redeem those parts of our lives. You know, when I was an 18-year-old, I was at the Rangiora Baptist Church here, and we were over at Countdown because that's where it used to be. And there was a guy that was standing in front of me. He was a year younger. He was tall. He was good looking. He was awesome at everything. And I just hated his guts, to be honest. I was just like, I am jealous of who you are. You know, you make me feel insignificant. And I remember I looked at him and I just cast this judgment on him. And I was just like, duh, you know. And in that moment, see, leading up to that moment, I'd been going, God, come into my life, you know. And in that moment, though, God just showed me my heart. He showed me the brokenness in my heart, the jealousy in my heart, and the insecurity in my life. And in that moment, I just dropped to the ground, actually, and I just broke and cried my eyes out. And in that time, He healed me of my jealousy. He delivered me from the sin of comparing myself with others and living less than. He delivered me from that, and He healed me, and He restored me into the right perspective of who I am. And who I am is irrelevant to who anyone is around me. You know, we can all be awesome, come on. And our identity is not at all threatened by others around us. And I needed to just, you know, God just needed to do a work. And that was a lordship issue in my life. I was saying, you know, I can cast this judgment on this person because I'm in charge. And God said, you know, no, actually, I want to break that off your life and give you freedom. You know, when He becomes Lord of your life, He doesn't want to do anything else but release freedom into your life. He's like, every river has a boundary, every river has banks, and those banks create the river to run freely. You know, if we don't have the banks of lordship of Christ around, we cannot flow freely. You take the banks away from a river and it just goes everywhere, and it's about that shallow, and it turns everything into mud. But God wants to, his boundaries for you are to give you purpose, direction, freedom, and a flow in life that you would never have without Him. And He is the King. He is the King. I just want to read a story to you today from Mark 14, verse 3-9. And I just want to, then I'm going to pull three things out of the story. So verse 3, while He was in Bethany, this is Jesus we're talking about here, reclining at the table of the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on His head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can't help them. You can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I say to you, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. See, she did something really significant in this moment. She got out of her comfort zone. She got out of her environment. She got out of her world and said, "I want to recognize Jesus for who I see Him as. I want to use what I have to recognize Christ for who He is to me and who He is to this world." You know, the vision that she had of Christ compelled her to respond according with what she had in her life. The way she saw Christ called her and ushered her in to doing something that she had never done before, because she saw Him for who He was. She saw Him as Savior, King, and she was like, "I can't help but respond to who You are, Christ. I can't help but respond regardless of who's watching me, regardless of the cost of my gift. I can't help but respond to who I'm seeing You, to who I'm seeing You as." You know, in the presence of royalty, we're compelled to change our behavior. You know, if the queen walked in, right now, and we open the doors, and we would all sit up straight. No one would burp. Everyone would be like, what do we do to make her comfortable? How do we respond to this, like, to nobility? How do we respond? Do we give her the best seat in the place? Do we go and get her a cup of tea? And you know, how are you doing? You know, how do we talk to her? You know, what do we do in this moment? Because she's royalty, and we're compelled to respond differently to royalty. We can't help it. And I believe that this woman here, she saw Christ for who he was, and she was compelled to respond with who she was and what she had, to recognize who Jesus as her Savior King was. And I just think there were some courageous aspects of what she did that day to Jesus to recognize him as King. And the first thing she did was that she moved into an environment that was totally out of her comfort zone. She was vulnerable. She brought... I can relate to that. She brought herself and her expensive gift into an environment where the outcome was uncertain. She brought her gift into an environment with Jesus and Simon and his mates. She was the only woman in this environment. She didn't know if she would be rejected by Jesus for one thing, or rejected by the group that were watching Jesus. Do you know the gift that we've been given in our lives? That we've got multiple gifts. We're like a diamond. You've got the gift of friendship. We've got the gift of our finances. We've got the gift of love for one another. And there's just so many. And then there's all the other manifold gifts of prophecy that we can be encouragers to each other. We are just chocker full of gifts. And it just, you know, for us to actually give our gifts to Christ, it creates, we have to be ready to be vulnerable with what we have. We have to be ready to go, you know, this gift may not be, it may not look that big, or it may not feel that relevant, but it's a gift on your life, and God is calling you to use the gifts of your life, regardless of what people say, regardless of what people think, you know, regardless of what your family think of your life. When I became a Christian, started following Jesus and knew him as my Savior, my family just couldn't get it. They were like, what are you, you freaky thing? You know, I was getting up, I got up earlier at like 7 o'clock, which was early back then. I know, right? It was a sacrifice. And I would read the Bible at the table and you know, try and do 2 chapters a day or something like that. And it was because something had happened in my life, and I wanted to recognize that Christ was now a part of my life, and it compelled me to do something different. And, you know, we're called to be different. When you see Christ, for who he is, it's not like you have to process how you're going to respond. It's like, I'm compelled to respond differently, because this is who you are, Christ, to me. This is who you are to me now, and I just can't do anything the same again. I've just got to do it. I've seen something in you, and I just can't go back to the way that I was. And this woman, she was so vulnerable with what she had in the company of people who could reject her. And Jesus accepted her humility. You know, humility recognizes the cost of being vulnerable, but courageously turns up anyway. In James 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know, he will only bless you if you humble yourself. He will only bless you if you're vulnerable with who Christ created you to be. He will only bless you. He is only good with your vulnerability. I know it's uncomfortable to put yourself out there, whether it's asking for prayer, whether it's just being like, you know, maybe I can sing, maybe I could be in the band, maybe I could help wash dishes with Nikki because my gosh, she was doing everything by herself out there at the end of the first service, so we really need helpers out there, and I'm sure someone would love to just get involved with the host team this morning and go and support those guys. You know, whatever we've got, you know, God can use it. You take it to Him and He will not reject your gift. The second thing she did was she obviously gave the gift. And this was a woman who came with a very expensive jar of perfume. She could have used that on herself. You know, they said, she could have used that. You could have used that for the poor. She basically took, you know, the year's wage, which is, I don't know, like the average wage of New Zealand, about 50 to 60K or whatever. And she poured that out on his head. She wasted it. She wasted a year's worth of income on Jesus Christ. She just lavished this gift to Him. She's like, I don't care what the cost is, because who you are, Christ, who I see you as, I've got to do this. I've got to give you the gift of this fragrance, and I want to release this to your life. It cost her a lot, and do you know that there is a price to pay to recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord in our lives? To gain something of great value, there is a high price. And we have a free gift when we come to Jesus. It's a free gift of salvation. But to put Him as Lord of your life, it's a different story. There is a cost attached to Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life. And it may mean that you have to start saying no to things that you said yes to. You know, the Bible says that there's no temptation that seized us except for what's common to man. But God is faithful and just, and you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. You know, we've all got temptation around our lives. No temptation has seized you except for what's common to man. Man, everyone has faced that stuff, but the grace of Jesus Christ gives you the ability to stand up under it. But putting Him as Lord of your life gives you the power and the authority to stand over it and to break it. That's a good word. Come on. Come on, some of you guys need to take lordship over those things that you've been struggling with and put them under your feet. Let Jesus Christ be the Lord of your life. You know, it may feel like it's costing you and it's painful, but the rewards that you'll receive from Him being Lord of your life, man, they are eternal. They are totally eternal. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says this: Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I just want to encourage you just to not hit the mute button with Christ as Lord and live a self-governing life. You know, Jesus Christ as Lord wants to shine through that dimension of that diamond and radiate His love through Him being the Lord of your life. The third thing that she did was honor Christ. When she gave this gift, she just honored Him. She added weight, as Lynn was saying this morning, to who he is. And verse 7, it says, he said that she had done a beautiful thing to me. In verse 8, it said, she did what she could. You know, she did what she could with what she had. She didn't think about what don't I have. She took what she had and she did what she could to make Jesus Christ the Lord of her life. She gave her gift, and that action in her giving her gift actually released a revelation to those around her that Jesus Christ was the Savior King. He said that she has poured this perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. You know, I believe that when we do, when we give our gifts to Christ, when we submit our gifts to Christ, there's a revelation there that is released to others around us that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that Jesus Christ is the King of this planet. I just, like I did in the first service, I just want to honor some amazing young people. I won't cry as much as I did in the first service. I think I got that out of the way. Yeah. Some amazing young men in this church, Jack Reedman, Mitch, Matt Kennedy, Sam, these guys here were incredible friends to a young man, Kevin Jeffcoat, who passed away on earlier this week on Monday. And Kevin had just been attending Thrive for the last 3 weeks of his life, and tragically on Monday he was killed in a car accident. And Deb and I had an opportunity on Monday night to go round to Kat's mum's place, Debbie and Rex, and just spend a couple of hours with them as they were just reeling from the shock of it. And she just said to me in this moment that when we were there that, you know, about Kevin beginning to get involved with church, because he was a very intellectual young man. Yet the problem was is that he was seeing things in his friends that he just couldn't figure out for himself. And he had said to Debbie that he had decided that he wanted to hang out with people that he wanted to become more like. And so these young guys here from Thrive had just been spent time, and there's others have spent time with Kevin over the years, and they were just modeling to him what Christ looks like. They just brought themselves into his world and just blessed him. They were a gift to Kevin, and as they did this, Kevin's heart was softening to who Christ was. You know, the lordship of Christ is contagious. And we don't know what went on in his heart while he was here over the last 3 Sundays, but his dad said yesterday in the service that he just believed that Kevin was just getting a new revelation, just getting a new understanding of who God was. So it's pretty awesome, eh? It's pretty amazing. In Matthew 25, verse 40, it says this, and this is the story of the sheep and the goats. And it's a tough story, because Jesus is dividing up, it's of this king who's dividing up the sheep from the goats. And many of you know the story, but for those who don't, the goats are those who may have confessed Jesus as Lord but didn't respond with any proof of him being the Lord of love in their lives. And the sheep were those who gave the cup of water, who went and loved someone and who did something for someone else. And the king went on to say, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You know, our actions speak so loudly. Our actions communicate love so brilliantly to others. And they also just go straight to Jesus. He receives, it says, what you did for others, you did for me. Man, everything you do, Christ is receiving, if it's done from a perspective of lordship. And he is so worthy to receive our praise. He's so worthy to receive what we're doing. You know, I said this earlier in the year, that we are a part of his kingdom. He is not a part of ours. Thank you, Crossy Road. We are a part of his kingdom. He is not a part of ours. I did a lot of sailing when I was younger, and I got pretty good at it, actually, and I was selected for Canterbury within my class of the yacht that I was sailing. It was a Zephyr. It was amazing. It was the number 3 Zephyr. It was the 3rd one made, but it was actually about 60 years old now, but it was an amazing wee sailing dinghy. And I was selected to represent Canterbury at the time, and part of that blessing was that there was a retired boat builder who had said, hey, if whoever selected will get their boat restored. And so I was selected, my boat was chosen to be restored, and I took my boat around there, and this man worked like long hours, took the deck off it, redecked it, got it down to racing weight. What was going on for me in my life at that time was that I was just having a train wreck, actually. I was 20 years old, and I'd decided that I just want to go check the world out. that I wasn't sure if Jesus was my Savior anymore, and I was looking into Eastern religion and just the other options that were out there. And so at the end of the year, though, as I said earlier, I found Christ as my Lord, and that was awesome. But what happened, the backstory with this boat, was that I actually just completely gave away sailing over that year. I didn't fulfill what I was meant to do. I didn't go and represent Canterbury. I didn't do anything like that, and I disappointed a lot of people at the yacht club. And they were like, and I was like, awkward. and so after I gave my life back to Christ, he started talking to me about this, and I was like, oh, okay, I need to do something about this. And I was 20, and I was like, well, I could just, you know, that's just awkward. We could just forget about it like that never happened. And but I know that God was saying, no, you actually need to pay this man for the work he's done. And so I basically emptied my savings one day, and I don't know why I'm crying, but anyway, it was money, and I was very sad. No, yeah. And I turned up on his doorstep. I'll never forget it. Knocked on his door because I was scared as that he was gonna just like really get stuck into me because of the time he had put in. Bill Popenhagen was his name. Such a nice man. And I turned up with this cash, and I just said, look, I am so sorry for. I'm so sorry for not fulfilling what I said I would do, and here's some money to pay for all the time and the labor that you put into this, into the boat. And he was really gracious, and he thanked me, and we went on our ways. Do you know, I just on that, I just want to say that honor is an action. Honor, it's not just lip service. The way that we honor Christ and we honor others is by responding. And when Christ is Lord of your life, he's really annoying because he tells you about things that he'd like you to do that are really uncomfortable, whether it's giving money or giving your time. But, you know, it's just the best thing to do. It's just always the best. I just don't regret anything in my life in the way when I've responded to him as Lordship. I do regret at times when I haven't. And he's calling out, you know, church, I just believe that there's something so powerful for us to step into, that as we recognize him as Lord of our lives in every area, in the hidden places, in the public places, where we need to be vulnerable in front of others or just, you know, with Christ. Man, I just want to encourage everyone so much to just, like, don't hold back. Just let him be the Lord. He is so worthy. He can't be Lord unless you give him permission to. He is a gentleman. I just want to read this scripture from 1 Chronicles 12, and this is when David, King David, became king. And it says this, all of these fighting men who volunteered to serve in their ranks, and it goes through this massive list of incredible people that were underachievers. They were actually originally, they were like the rejects, the derelicts, the ones that were cast out, that were nothing. But because they hung out with David, David actually started converting them into their potential, and he started calling them up. And so there's this list, and this is basically, it looks like the Terminator, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor. You know, these were like David's mighty men. And it says, they came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. And I just want to pick up on that David didn't make himself king, but he became king because of everyone recognizing who he actually was. He wasn't just their mate anymore. He wasn't just the guy that saved them from a bad life. He was like, he is our king. He's our champion. He's the one who's going to lead us in authority and in victory. And today, I just believe that there's another level for us to recognize Christ as king in our lives. There's another dimension of the diamond that needs to shine brighter in our town, and that is the diamond of Christ being Lord of all. Can everyone just stand with me this morning? I just want to pray for you before I play a video. And thank you, Holy Spirit. We just want to surrender our lives, if we do, to you as King. We recognize you as our Savior. But we want to bow our knee to you and go your way, be a part of your kingdom. Come under the kingdom of love. You're the King of hearts. And we receive your kingship today, and we recognize, we show us what it means to be fully determined to make you King of our lives, God. Holy Spirit, just right now, just for everyone in here, just open your heart to his small, still voice that may be uncomfortable. He may say something uncomfortable to you this morning. He may affirm you this morning. But whatever he's doing it from a dimension of love. And he desires your freedom. And he desires your victory. We just thank you, Lord. We just give you thanks. Thanks, Jack.